as we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Lamentations chapter 3. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. Anybody come in this morning feeling a little heavy, a little exhausted, worried, a little sad? Said, but this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Would you pray with me? Father God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And this morning, we've already received your gift of new mercy, new grace, and new hope. Father, for every heart in this place that came in this morning, just feeling a bit down, overwhelmed, sad, afraid, we thank you that already you're here, ready to stir up something of life and peace and joy in us. Father God, thank you that your steadfast love never ceases. There's nothing that we did last week that makes you so mad that you're not glad to love us again right here and right now. Thank you, O God, that you look at us and delight in what you see, not because we deserve it, but because you choose to be a God of love and you choose to call us your children. And so receiving such love and receiving such mercy and grace, we are free to worship. We're free to sing out. We're free to lean in and listen to a new word you have for us. Because we trust you're good and we trust you're right here with us. And so would you move mightily in this place, O God? Would you be pleased by what happens here? And would you encourage each heart as we worship you? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we continue our series on encountering Jesus and looking at the new pathways he opens to us, we are looking at the Christ who removes us from the pathway of sleepwalking, kind of just in a daze through life, and gives us this new pathway of being wide awake and alert to him. With that in mind, hear these words from Revelation 13. This comes from the Message version, so it'll look a little different than the Bible that you have, most likely. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence and sleeping around and dissipation and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ. And be up and about. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask that your spirit would continue to move freely and mightily in this place because we want to hear from you. And we believe the words that we've heard through testimony and song that you declare us worthy of hearing from you. That you actually want to speak to us. You want to connect with us, your children. And we want that too. And so would your spirit move among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever slept through something important? Got a few folks and pictures that have done that. There's a very expensive nap in Venice, Italy. There's Biden sleeping through Barack Obama's budget meeting. Here's a little boy sleeping on his one visit to the White House. Ruth Bader Ginsburg sleeping through the State of the Union address, which to her credit, we've all done, right? Here's a Golden State Warrior, Andre Iguodala, sleeping on the bench. He must not be going anytime soon. Prince William caught all kinds of flack for falling asleep in church. You never do that, right? Here's a man sound asleep at the College World Series. What's the most important thing that you've ever slept through? Anyone actually have something that comes to mind? Church, that is an important thing. Thank you for acknowledging the importance of it, at least. Yes. Class, yes. Sleeping through class, sleeping through church. Anyone ever slept through an interview that you were supposed to be at? Some kind of big event? Anyone slept at the wheel? It's kind of a big deal. When I went to England a few years ago, I was going to have just 2 days in London right after I arrived. And there was one thing, among other things, that I just really wanted to do. And that was I wanted to see Les Mis in London. It was on my bucket list. And so I bought my tickets, got a great deal. And my first full day in England, I got to the place 7 p.m. And once I sat down, jet lag just hit me. And so for this next 2 hours, as this phenomenal play is being acted out right there in front of me, I think I slept through at least an hour and a half of it. I'd kind of wake up and really be glad I had read the story and seen the story, or I would have no clue what was going on. I'd catch it for 2 minutes and I was out again, again and again. Have you ever been on vacation with teenagers? They're the worst on vacationing. When I remember as a little kid, my family did a combined family trip to Colorado, and I had teenage cousins. And here we are, we were kids from Texas, you know, the land of nothingness. And so here we are in Colorado for just 1 week, and there's mountains, and there's rivers, and there's things to see and things to do. And my teenage cousins wanted to sleep every day on vacation until at least noon. And I was just going crazy. I'm thinking, you guys, you can sleep in San Antonio. We are in the Rockies. Get up. We've got things to do. We've all found ourselves falling asleep at inconvenient, inappropriate times. And it turns out as we begin to read the story of Scripture, we have this God who takes sleeping seriously. And not so much sleeping at night. We need that, and you should try to get that. But he takes seriously this idea of being a people who live our lives as if we are more or less asleep. A people walking through life in this daze, mostly unaware of God's presence, numbed to the Spirit moving around us, unattuned to the Jesus who is right here with us. All through the story of Scripture, we find our God crying out over and over again, "My children, my people, wake up, wake up, wake up." There's life out there that you've got to wake up and get to living. Just want to look a little bit at this story of Scripture and see these places where God talks about sleeping. We find from the very first pages that the earliest followers of God were a people who got up early and got to living. I'm not so good at that. I am not a great early person. It's like a goal in my life, this desire. But man, when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, the rah, 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 I just got goosebumps. I hate that noise. I hate it. But God's people, from the very beginnings of time, they've been a morning, wake up and get going kind of people. In Genesis 19:27 says, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Exodus 9:13, Moses is called to get up and stand before Pharaoh early in the morning. God says, Moses, you got work to do today. Get up and get to it. Proverbs, I love Proverbs. They don't mince words at all. Proverbs 6:9 says, how long will you lie there, oh lazy bones? Lazy bones. Other versions say you sluggard. Rather be a lazy bones or a sluggard. I don't know. But it says, when will you rise up from your sleep? Proverbs, the book of wisdom, says that God's wisdom calls people to get up, wake up, and live already. Jesus, right in the very first chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, says, "In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed." There's this literal waking up, this getting out of bed and getting our feet on the ground, ready to face the day, ready to live. These folks in this story, in God's story, they just don't seem to love the snooze button nearly as much as I do. God calls us to get out of bed, to wake up, ready to live each day, literally. But there's also this metaphorical waking up in Scripture too. It turns out that God cares about that just as much. And this is that idea of waking up to the life that God has for us. Not just going through our days waiting to get to Friday. Not walking in this kind of stupor, but being these people who are alert, aware of what God's doing and of the life he has for us. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the life God has for you? Are you living into it? God calls to us from Genesis to the maps over and over again. Wake up, my people, wake up to me. We've got the story of Jonah, the Old Testament. If you remember the story of Jonah, you know how it goes. You know that God calls him and says, "Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell my people to repent." And Jonah's like, "I'm out, God." He's not a fan of the Ninevites. And so he hops on a ship to head to Tarshish, the other direction. And as he's on this boat, go figure, this huge storm comes up and the boat's just being just bombarded by waves and everyone's freaking out. And they go looking for Jonah and he's sound asleep in the midst of this chaos, totally unaware of what God is doing around him. You ever feel like you're sleeping in that sort of a way? Maybe you're older than me, and so you're good at getting up early in the morning. You can't help it because you have to go to the bathroom. I'm getting there. But even though you're up early in the morning, when you think about it, you find that really most days you're sound asleep to anything that God's doing around you. Jonah's sleeping, and God is causing these waves to do some stuff, and he's oblivious to it. And so in Jonah chapter 1, this captain comes to Jonah and he says, "How can you sleep?" He says, "Get up and call on your God. And maybe he'll notice us and maybe we won't perish." It's this cry, "Jonah, how can you sleep when we're suffering all around you? And you are the one who knows the God who comforts and you know the God who heals. How can you sleep when you can call on this God and he might actually do something to save us, to help us? Sleeper, awake, Jonah." This captain, he calls to me. "Wake up. Wake up. People are drowning around here. People are turning against each other around here. Wake up. You know the God who walks on water. You know the God who stills the sea. Wake up, Jamie. Wake up and look at who's hurting and call on your God." Waking up in the eyes of God, it's the sense of our hearts being aligned with his heart. What he breaks over, we break over. What he's doing to heal this world, we're doing it with him. Our hearts are as one. The captain to Jonah, "Sleeper, awake." Jesus to me, "Jamie, wake up. People are suffering. Wake up and call on your God." We find waking up again in the New Testament. Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of his return. And in this sense, waking up means that we are a people who are looking for Jesus every day. He tells his disciples before he goes to the cross, "Now you're not going to see me for a bit, but you guys keep awake. For you don't know when I'm coming back, and I am coming back." Before he goes to the cross, Jesus says, I'm not done yet. This story is to be continued. Stay awake and look for me. He goes on and he says, if you get word that a robber is going to come break into your house that night, you're going to stay awake and you're going to wait for that robber so you can protect your house. Jesus says, I tell you guys, I am coming. Stay awake. Don't sleep until you see me. I'm coming. Of course, it's metaphorical. He's not saying live your whole life like this. He's saying in your heart, stay awake to his coming, to his presence. He's here. He's here. We find him again in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember this story. It's the night of his arrest, his last full day alive on this earth. And he pulls his closest disciples to him and he says, you guys, would y'all just stay here and pray with me while I'm praying over here because my heart is breaking and I'm terrified, I'm anxious, I need you guys. And he goes over to say his own prayers and he comes back and what does he find his disciples doing? Sleeping. Three different times it happens. And he says, could you not even stay awake for just a moment while I was pouring my heart out to you and to the Father? There's this sense that being a people who are awake means we live our lives in this posture of being ready for Jesus to come and to share his heart with us whenever he wants to. When's the last time, not that you shared your heart with Jesus, but that you had space in your life for Jesus to just come and share his heart with you? That's what it means to be awake. We find Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5. He says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful how you live as wise people, making the most of the time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Here in Ephesians, Paul is carrying on this theme that we've seen from Jonah to Jesus. And now he's saying, church, church, wake up. Let Christ shine on you. He's saying, make the most of every day. He's saying, you people of God, live wide awake, alert. Understand God's will. That's being awake, Paul says. Know what God is up to. And join him in it. That is being awake, Paul says. Have a pulse on what God desires. Sleeper, awake. He says, don't you get drunk. Don't you get high on lesser things. On these things that serve no purpose besides to put our minds to sleep. He says, less wine. Dare I say, in 2021 in Washington State, less pot. Oh, that got less mind-numbing TV marathons. More Jesus. Sleeper, wake up. All these things put your mind to sleep. Wake up. Because you must know the will of the Lord and you must be filled with the Spirit. Wake up. In Romans chapter 13. Paul again says, it's now the moment, it's now the moment for you to wake from sleep. Make sure you don't get absorbed and exhausted taking care of all your day-to-day obligations, that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. Be up and awake to what God is doing. The implication here is that we have a God and he is doing something. And the warning is that the everyday stuff of life that consumes our schedules and our attentions might not be it. And it might actually tempt us to totally miss it. But we can be awake. And we can see God on the move. And we can live awake as we move with him. You see, there's lots of concern in Scripture about people of God sleeping through life, missing out on this good stuff that God is up to all around them. Are we those people? Are we asleep more than we're awake? Let's just think about it in our own hearts and minds for a bit. Think about this past week in your life, last Sunday to this Sunday. And just be honest with your own heart, in this last week, how many times could you say that you were totally aware of God's presence with you? Aware enough that you stopped in your tracks and took note of it. The last 7 days, how many minutes did you spend intentionally joining what God was up to? Like on purpose. You showed up to him and you joined what he was doing. In the last 7 days, how often did you hear yourself just say to yourself, I feel so alive. I'm awake. Bet you can do the math if you're like me and just simple digits in your head. But did you know that there are 10,080 minutes in 1 week? 10,080. Did any of us even get more than 100 minutes in that calculation? There are 10,080 minutes in a week. How many of those did we really spend awake, intimately connected to God, and actively in step with what God's doing? And how many of those minutes were we more or less sleepwalking? Try to think back, what did I even do this week? I don't know. Just kind of becomes a blur so quickly, doesn't it? Sleeper, awake. This morning we hear our call again. Wake up. Rise and walk with your God. So the question is, we want to be that. We want to live life awake. We know our days are limited. We want to make the most of it. So how do we do it? We are a prone to live life in a daze kind of people, right? And me too, and I work in a church. And it still happens. How do we wake up each day ready to live? How do we wake up each day determined to stay awake all day long? A few ideas. Think about the times in your life that you felt the most awake, the days that you were most alert. You'll notice some common themes. We wake up and we stay awake when we know that there is someone important to see. Have you ever been to a concert of your favorite person, favorite musician? Anybody have a favorite concert out there? Just say it. Grateful Dead. Yes. So that's perfect. So a Grateful Dead's in town and you're not going to miss it. Or have you ever gotten word that your favorite author, your favorite actor, your favorite politician is going to be nearby? What do? You get up early to buy those tickets, crazy early. You're on the internet at like 4 a.m., refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. You're going to get tickets. It matters. And then when that day comes, when they're actually going to be here, you plan your entire day around being in the same room as that person. You'll stand in an hours-long line just to get their autograph. You'll drive through Seattle rush hour to be there. That day, encountering that person, it woke you up and it kept you awake. And you would say to this day that it was worth it. How much more, you guys, with the living God? Every single day, the creator of the universe and the lover of our souls, get this, he actually wants to meet with us. He's actually in town. He wants us to see him. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to feel his presence. He wants us to just enjoy a day with him. In John 15, Jesus is giving his final words to his disciples before he leaves. And 11 times in one chapter, he tells his disciples, you guys, make your home with me. Abide with me. Make your home with me. Make your home with me. Make your home with me. He's saying, what I want most of all is to actually be in your home so you might actually show up to me every day because I'm right here. I want to meet with you. I'm going to hang out in the most intimate place of your life, in your home, so you might wake up and meet with me. That's our God's desire. He's in town. Jesus woke up in those early mornings just to be with his Father. There was someone important to see. We wake up and we stay awake all day long when there is someone important to see and we actually want to see them. So if we feel that we haven't seen Jesus in quite a long time, the hard truth is maybe we just don't want to, because he's here. He's here. We wake up and we stay awake because seeing God, we believe in our heart of hearts, is worth everything we've got. We wake up and we stay awake when there is someone important to see. We wake up and we stay awake when there is something important to do, right? Those nights in your life before a big event, an early morning flight somewhere, a job interview, someone's coming to town, a big event. If you're like me, you can hardly sleep on those nights. You set your alarm, you don't even need to, because you don't get a wink of sleep, because there's just no way that you're going to miss it. You're going to wake up. The second your alarm goes off, you hit the ground running. You're ready. There's no time to stop and think about being sleepy, because there is something important to do. Jonah, wake up. There's some God work to do around here. People are about to drown. Moses, get up. Go talk to Pharaoh. You've got something big to do today. There's some slaves that need to be set free. Sunday mornings, I'm not an early morning person, but I tell you, on Sunday mornings, I cannot push the snooze button. My body won't let me. I hear this whisper from God early in the morning, Jamie, wake up. There's some worship to do, good work to do. My friends, when you've got a purpose, when you've got this hunch of what God's doing, and you know you have this invitation to join him in it, you wake up because there's something important to do. If we have a hard time waking up, maybe we're numb to our purpose. We've got a God to stir up some life with. That's something important to do. Wake up. We wake up when we're expecting something exciting to happen. Ever hung out with a kid on Christmas morning? They get up at like 4 a.m. and they are wide awake. They're ready because it's going to be exciting. When Guy and I did our road trip down to Texas over Thanksgiving and we were coming back, I already had seen the terrain and I made a plan. I was going to sleep through the plains of Texas so I could be wide awake when we got to the canyons of New Mexico, because something exciting was coming up and I knew it, and I was going to make sure that I stayed awake for it. We stay awake when there's something exciting on the horizon. When I bought my first house in Waco, Texas, I was there for like a week. And I heard rumors amongst the youth group that the youth were going to give me a housewarming gift of toilet papering the front yard. And they're terrible at keeping secrets, so I got all the details. And so that night, I'm sitting in my living room in the dark, and I have the blinds closed, but I'm peering through this one little slot. And go figure, right on schedule, 2 a.m., here they pull up, being all sneaky and creepy. And I run out screaming and scare them to death. I was awake! I wasn't going to miss that. You're awake when there's something exciting that's about to happen. Jesus, to his disciples, he says, stay awake because I am coming soon. This is exciting news. The king is coming to be with us. And when he comes, his kingdom will be here forever. Stay awake to that. Stay awake. He says, get to know Jesus now so you won't miss him when he comes, because this is the most exciting news that could ever be heard. And in the meantime, the Spirit of Jesus is showing up all around us, within us, every single day. What does that mean? That means that God himself is doing the work of life right here, right now, in a world where people are dying. It means that God is stirring up forgiveness among enemies, people that were never supposed to be reconciled. God's seeing it happen. God is bringing healing to the broken, and God is speaking peace over chaos. And God is seeing that there's freedom in places where there have been chains for so long. God is doing it. And he's doing it right before our eyes. And if we don't see it, it's not because God's not doing it. It's because we're not really looking. We're living our lives in a daze, sleepwalking. A few months back, Guy bought a truck. And when he was looking at trucks, he decided he wanted a Toyota Tundra. I'm not a car person. I never thought a thing about Toyota Tundras. I didn't even know they existed, to be fair. But the second he said that's what he wanted, what do you know? I began to see Toyota Tundras everywhere. Turns out everyone has a Toyota Tundra. They're everywhere. They're taking over the world. And I didn't even know it until I was aware that there's a such thing as Toyota Tundras out there. You see, when we start looking for a God on the move, turns out we begin to see a God on the move. And that is exciting. Every single day is another day to wake up and see what exciting thing God is going to do today. Get up and stay awake. This is the very best part of the road trip of life. Our God is doing something beautiful, something like you have never seen. Don't just sleep through it. Sleep through Texas. Don't sleep through New Mexico. Don't you sleep through it. You will miss the excitement. You will miss all of the fun. We wake up when we realize that every moment is a gift of God's grace. Wake up. Happens every time someone gets a cancer diagnosis and they start thinking about the bucket list. Finally realize, turns out it's all a gift. And I finally want to use it to the full. When my dear grandparents were dying, both of them, no one in the family wanted to leave their bedside. Everything else could wait. We needed to soak up every last minute with them. And we were all so aware, so acutely aware, that every single second with them was a gift. And so we stayed awake. In my role, in my ministry, I hang out with folks who are coming to the end of their life more often than most people. And I tell you that all the folks that I've been near when they're on their deathbed, every single one, in that sacred season of life, they get in touch with the real gifts of life. I've never sat by a bedside of someone who was in their last moments and heard them say, you know, I wish I just had one more good Netflix binge in my life. And I never heard one say, you know, I could really sleep in peace if I just had like $10,000 more in my bank account. Or if I just had one more night of sitting high on the couch. That would be nice. No. None of them ever wished for more hours in a work week. Or just one more good European vacation. No, these folks that I've had this privilege of walking alongside in these last moments when they're breathing their last, what I see over and over is there, some of them for the first time, some of them for the millionth time, in that place they are recognizing the gift of it all. What they cherish the most is the gift of love. The chance in their life to be loved. And the chances they've had to share that love. If they're wishing for anything, what they're wishing for is that they had a closer walk with Jesus this side of heaven. That they had learned to love him more because they're ready to figure out how to love and they wish they already had gotten started on it. Or they wish for more attention to their family and their friends. They wish for lives of more generosity. More, yes, son, I'll play catch with you. Unless I'm busy, I'll show up to you later kind of stuff. Those moments they realize it's all a gift. All of life is just this grace. It's just grace. Don't sleep through the gift. Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are what? New every morning. They're new every day. That means this day, God had something new for us. God's mercy for each new day. It is just a gift. Let us wake up and enjoy it. Would you just feel your pulse for a minute? Just feel it. If you're still awake, feel your pulse. Feel that? Feel that? You know what that means? It means that your heart is beating. And you know what that is? It is a miracle. Do you know how many things have to work together just right for your heart to keep beating. What a gift of grace. God must really want you here. What a gift to be wanted here. For just a second, will you put your mask down? Maybe this lifts in a few weeks, another hope. But would you push your mask down and just kind of put your finger right here? For just a few seconds. Place it under your nose. You feel that? You know what that is? It's carbon dioxide. And you know what that means? It means you're breathing. And do you know what that is? It is a miracle of grace. Do you know how many things have to come together just right for your lungs to just keep working? It is a miracle, I tell you. And in a split second, it could all be gone. Life is a gift of God's grace. When we get in touch with the miracle of it all, we decide it's time to stop wasting it on silly addictions and numbing substances and being angry at people we love and jam-packed calendars full of things that we actually don't love. It's all a gift. And we're going to enjoy that gift to the full by waking up to the giver of the gift, God Himself, and sharing it with those He's given us to love. Folks who encounter Jesus are invited away from this life of perpetual snooze buttons and sleepwalking through our days. Just working the to-do list and crashing on the couch until bedtime and doing it again tomorrow. We're free from that. Sleeper, awake. That is the call of the God who loves you. To wake up is to know God intimately. And it's to be in touch with what He's up to. And it's to jump into that good work with Him. Wake up. Today, you have got someone important to meet. It's Jesus. In case you fell asleep earlier. Today, you have got something important to do. Stir up some life with Jesus. Today, you have got something exciting to look forward to. Seeing Jesus in ways you never imagined you'd see Him before. And today, you've got a gift that has been given to you, and that gift is called life. And this day is a miracle of God's grace. Let us not dare sleep our way through it. Make the most of the gift. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead. Let Christ shine on. Let Christ shine in. Let Christ shine through you. That's what it means to be wide awake. Christ shining on us. Let it be so. Would you pray with me? Father God, oh my goodness, every day I wake up in the morning and then I fall asleep to you a few minutes later. Oh, I pray for my own heart this week that it would be a heart that is awake and alert to who you are and what you're doing, so I might love you well and join your good work in this world. I pray the same for my brothers and sisters. We want to live alive. We want to live alert. We want to live awake. We'll need your grace and your mercy to help us do what our hearts really do want to do. Thank you that you've already offered it. Here's to a week, O God, living awake with you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.